We were the great believers. I have never cared for any men as much as for these, who felt the first springs when I did, and saw death ahead, and were reprieved, and who now walk the long, stormy summer. F. Scott Fitzgerald, My Generation. The world is a wonder, but the portions are small. Rebecca Hazleton, Slash Fiction. 1985. 20 miles from here, 20 miles north, the funeral mass was starting. Yale checked his watch as they walked up Belden. He said to Charlie, "How empty do you think that church is?" Charlie said, "Let's not care." The closer they got to Richard's house, the more friends they spotted heading the same way. Some were dressed nicely, as if this were the funeral itself. Others wore jeans, leather jackets. It must only be relatives up at the church, the parents' friends, the priest. If there were sandwiches laid out in some reception room, most were going to waste. Yale found the bulletin from last night's vigil in his pocket and folded it into something resembling the cootie catchers his childhood friends used to make on buses, the ones that told your fortune, famous or murdered, when you opened a flap. This one had no flaps, but each quadrant bore words, some upside down, all truncated by the folds. Father George H. Whitb. Beloved son, brother, rest in all things bright and lieu of flowers, donation. All of which, Yale supposed, did tell Nico's fortune. Nico had been bright and beautiful. Flowers would do no good. The houses on this street were tall, ornate. Pumpkins still out on every stoop, but few carved faces. Artful arrangements, rather, of gourds and Indian corn. Wrought iron fences, swinging gates. When they turned onto the walkway to Richard's, a noble brownstone sharing walls with noble neighbors, Charlie whispered, "His wife decorated the place when he was married in 72. Yale laughed at the worst possible moment, just as they passed a gravely smiling Richard holding open his own door. It was the idea of Richard living a hetero life in Lincoln Park with some decoratively inclined woman. Yale's image of it was slapstick. Richard stuffing a man into the closet when his wife dashed back for her Chanel clutch. Yale pulled himself together and turned back to Richard. He said, "You have a beautiful place." A wave of people came up behind them, pushing Yale and Charlie into the living room. Inside, the decor didn't scream 1972 so much as 1872. Chintz sofas, velvety chairs with carved arms, oriental rugs. Yale felt Charlie squeeze his hand as they dove into the crowd. Nico had made it clear there was to be a party. "If I get to hang out as a ghost, you think I want to see sobbing? I'll haunt you. You sit there crying, I'll throw a lamp across the room, okay? I'll shove a poker up your ass, and not in a good way." If he'd died just 2 days ago, they wouldn't have had it in them to follow through. But Nico died 3 weeks back, and the family delayed the vigil and the funeral until his grandfather, the one no one had seen in 20 years, could fly in from Havana. Nico's mother was the product of a brief, pre-Castro marriage between a diplomat's daughter and a Cuban musician. And now this ancient Cuban man was crucial to the funeral planning, while Nico's lover of 3 years wasn't even welcome at the church tonight. Yale couldn't think about it or he'd fume, which wasn't what Nico wanted. In any case, they'd spent 3 weeks mourning, and now Richard's house brimmed with forced festivity. There were Julian and Teddy, for instance, waving down from the second-story railing that encircled the room. Another floor rose above that, and an elaborate round skylight presided over the whole space. It was more of a cathedral than the church had been. Someone shrieked with laughter far too close to Yale's ear. Charlie said, "I believe we're meant to have a good time." Charlie's British accent, Yale was convinced, emerged more in sarcasm. Yale said, "I'm waiting on the go-go dancers." Richard had a piano, and someone was playing Fly Me to the Moon.